Importers must proactively investigate applicable tariffs and duties. A failure to do so will likely result in a finding of deliberate indifference or ignorance. The False Claims Act includes treble damage awards and attorney's fees. Given this potential payoff, private whistleblowers, individuals, and competitors will seek lucrative payoffs by filing these claims. In addition to all of this civil liability, a false claims case, if filed by a whistleblower, is fertile ground for criminal prosecutors to identify criminal fraud cases.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Welcome, everybody. Michael Volkoff here for another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. Today, we're going to take another sort of deeper dive into False Claims Act and trade enforcement. And this is a growing risk and one that everybody should be aware of because it's a change in policy by this administration. And the Trump administration really intends to leave a strong enforcement mark on fraud and trade enforcement. DOJ is linking together trade enforcement and False Claims Act cases in an unprecedented manner that will open up new opportunities and risks for companies involved in international trade. DOJ's intent is clear, and companies should be aware of this growing risk area. In May 2025, DOJ designated, quote, trade and customs fraud, including tariff evasion, close quote, as one of the top 10 national priorities. To implement this directive, it is critical to, quote, follow the resources, close quote, or like I say, follow the bouncing ball for us older folks, in order to evaluate DOJ's commitment. DOJ has reallocated staff from DOJ's fraud section and consumer protection branch to prioritize investigations of import misclassification, undervaluation, or misrepresenting the origin to evade duties. To fit within the FCA nomenclature, DOJ is relying on what it terms, quote, reverse false claims, close quote, to apply in the trade and import context. For example, if an importer submits false documentation on one of the three key issues, misclassification, undervaluation, or origin of the goods, with the intent to evade a duty or fee, DOJ is characterizing such submission as a false reverse claim, meaning that it is intended to reduce the amount the importer has to pay to the government. A traditional false claim refers to false filings to secure an improper benefit or payment of monies to the filer. The opposite of what is occurring in the trade context, hence the use of the false reverse claim label. DOJ is warned of an aggressive use of False Claims Act prosecutions, not only in trade compliance, but extending to civil rights, DEI, and other areas. Now, this theory of DOJ's has already been applied to include evasion of anti-dumping duties. For example, International Vitamins paid over $22 million for underpaying its customs duties, misclassification of its products. Lind GmbH paid $22 million for failure to pay customs duties. And Toyo Inc. paid $45 million for misrepresenting country of origin information to avoid paying anti-dumping duties on imports from China and India. In another case reported this year, Evolutions Flooring paid $8.1 million for knowingly and improperly evading customs duties on imports of multi-layered wood flooring from the People's Republic of China. The settlement is based on Evolutions and its owner's ability to pay. In other words, they reduce the penalty. To enter goods into the United States, an importer must declare, among any other things, the country of origin of the goods, the value of the goods, whether the goods are subject to duties, and the amount of duties owed. U.S. Customs and Border Protection collects applicable duties, including anti-dumping and countervailing duties assessed by the Department of Commerce and Section 301 duties imposed by the Office of the United States Trade Representative. During the relevant time period, PRC manufactured multi-layered wood flooring products that were subject to anti-dumping, countervailing, and Section 301 duties. Through May 2025, DOJ announced that it has reached 128 FCA settlements totaling $1.257 billion, many involving trade, healthcare, and civil rights issues. Now, another interesting issue is that DOJ has expanded its whistleblower pilot program to include tariff and customs fraud, creating a powerful incentive for individuals and competitors to file QITAM FCA claims. This has resulted already in an increase in tips, real-time claims, and sealed complaints. Companies are using the False Claims Act claims as a weapon in the competitive marketplace. Now, I also want to turn to the latest development, which was a landmark Ninth Circuit ruling, which expanded the application of False Claims Act to trade enforcement. Interesting case, and it's worth reading it. DOJ's ability to bring False Claims Act actions against companies for customs fraud was affirmed in a significant Ninth Circuit decision, United States ex rel Island Industries v. Sigma Corp., decided on June 23, 2025. The decision clears the way for DOJ to pursue its aggressive strategy to prevent and punish customs evasion misconduct. Island Industries, a competitor, sued Sigma for evading 182.9% anti-dumping duties, which resulted in a $24 million jury award. As a consequence, FCA whistleblowers will have even more incentive to file FCA cases in federal court solely on the basis of customs duty and tariff evasions. The Sigma decision confirmed that FCA claims over customs fraud can be filed in federal district court, like any other False Claims Act, rather than the Court of International Trade. Sigma claimed that 28 U.S.C. 1582 grants exclusive jurisdiction to the Court of International Trade for customs-related claims. The Ninth Circuit rejected this claim, holding that 1582 applies only when the government initiates an enforcement action. The Ninth Circuit ruled that 19 U.S.C. 1592 and the FCA can coexist and that Congress's 2009 FCA amendments clarified that obligation, the term, includes customs duties. In other words, there is dual applicability of 19 U.S.C. 1592 and the FCA. Additionally, the Ninth Circuit rejected arguments by Sigma that the applicable duties were not collectible for older entries after the goods were liquidated. And liquidated means just moved on, not destroyed. The Ninth Circuit explained that the obligation to pay a duty arose at the time of entry, and 1592 allows for recovery for fraud after the goods had been entered and transported. Sigma also offered an objective reasonableness defense and specifically claimed that it did not believe the duties applied. The Ninth Circuit rejected this standard and applied its precedent and the Supreme Court's precedent in United States v. Supervalue, where the court held that the FCA requires subjective intent, not just objective reasonableness. In this case, there was strong evidence Sigma acted with deliberate ignorance or reckless disregard, meaning that it failed to investigate anti-dumping orders. The Ninth Circuit's decision unleashes private QITAM suits alleging customs and tariff fraud claims in federal district court. Importers must proactively investigate applicable tariffs and duties. A failure to do so will likely result in a finding of deliberate indifference or ignorance. The False Claims Act includes treble damage awards and attorney's fees. Given this potential payoff, private whistleblowers, individuals, and competitors will seek lucrative payoffs by filing these claims. In addition to all of this civil liability, a false claims case, if filed by a whistleblower, is fertile ground for criminal prosecutors to identify criminal fraud cases. In the context of a trade compliance investigation, Homeland Security investigations in partnership with the CBP, is responsible for launching criminal investigations into export-import misconduct, which are often prosecuted by U.S. attorney's offices in the port district. Most FCA cases begin with a whistleblower complaint. Criminal prosecutors may become aware of the case through internal referrals at DOJ or other sources. Companies have to exercise care in this area since deliberate schemes to avoid custom duties can result in also criminal liability as well as false statements prosecutions under 18 U.S.C. 1001. Under DOJ's new corporate enforcement program, a voluntary disclosure of potential violations in this area can result in a declination if the company cooperates and remediates the misconduct. So companies should initiate an immediate review of their trade compliance policies beyond sanctions and export controls to compliance with U.S. import duties and potential customs fraud. DOJ is priming the pump to increase these cases, especially against those companies relying on imports from China. A trade compliance assessment should include looking at company communications emphasizing importance of customs compliance and importance to companies' culture of compliance, confirmation of companies' policies, procedures, and manuals as accessible, current, and comprehensive guidance to company managers and employees, review of the company's supply chain footprint, countries of origin, products imported, and evaluation controls, assessments of customs brokers used to facilitate U.S. imports and nature and scope of interactions, sampling and testing of product imports, including country of origin, classification, and valuation confirmation to identify potential problems. There also should be confirmation of customs compliance training programs and attendance by responsible individuals, as well as a review of internal investigation and hotline reports relating to any trade compliance issues. And finally, modification of any document retention program to include specific customs and import documentation. Well, that's a quick overview and a look at this continuing development here in terms of a risk that's being really heightened in the new administration. Thanks again, everybody. See you next week for another episode.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkoff, go to volkovlaw.com.